Hey, everybody. We're Bob and Audrey, a husband and wife team.
And this is our podcast all about relationships.
We are marriage and relationship enthusiasts, believing there is a God-given design to thrive in both life and love.
And we think that Jesus is amazing and worth following with everything you have. On this podcast, we are putting together the truths and best practices we have learned over our 35 years of marriage, and more specifically, over the past 18 years, where we have spent our lives helping people love their relationships.
After getting through our own family crisis, we became passionate about rescuing and mentoring others. We have authored numerous books and developed on-demand courses that can be found on our website, lovemarriedlife.com.
And with all that said, let's dive into the episode for this week.
Thanks for joining us. This is episode number 52 of All About Relationships.
And we're still here, and so are you.
So glad.
Imagine that. We are making it through.
Making it through.
I love it.
Marriage is supposed to be hard. That was episode number 51.
Right.
We got a little bit of reaction from people with regards to that, and I'm thankful.
Me too, because
that tells me they're listening and they're reading.
Yes.
But one of them that I heard from people, I could tell they didn't listen.
Oh, really?
They just read the headline.
Oh, I see.
You see? And yeah. They're just like, say what?
I heard a response that I really appreciated, uh-huh. Because it's just that making sure that we know that there's responsibility and intention and the seriousness of making a marriage commitment. And I appreciate that.
Oh, yes.
I appreciate that so much,
saying, real.
Yes, marriage is serious. I think I can agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
Marriage is very serious, but it also can be extremely fun, and I don't want it to be hard work every day. I think that's what we were attempting to communicate.
And I think people
heard
it.
And I think we did. And yeah. I'm so glad that we are working through this.
So we're back again, and I just thought, Audrey, it would be good to kind of just follow along that vein a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Because the whole purpose of All About Relationships is I want people to be able to thrive both in life and love. That relationships, you know, not just the marriage relationship, but all relationships, is the mutual sharing of life and love one with another, and that they should be enjoyable. Can they be challenging at times? Absolutely.
And the tricky part to doing relationships is there's two people with two different choices involved. So we often find that one person in the relationship is really being intentional and really making that work. And they say, but why isn't the other person? And I just want to encourage you, if you're that person that's investing and planting seeds in the garden of your relationship, that's exactly what you're doing. Your seeds are like investments. Every time you choose kindness, you're making an investment.
Yeah.
Every time you water that seed with attention and give that touch going by, that, you know, just a little bit of gentle affection or just all those compassion and empathy, you're always investing in a relationship, and you can't go wrong when you're planting seeds, because they take a while to grow sometimes, but they do grow. I want to encourage you.
Mm-hmm.
And today's episode, we're going to talk about a ton of great seeds that you can plant in your relationship.
And I'm so grateful. You know, when people get stuck or they, you know, they feel sometimes as though they don't have a partner, you know, in the marriage, and that I'm doing this alone. I'm so grateful, you know, that you reach out and that you begin to develop the tools necessary, you know, that you don't quit too soon.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Audrey, I like the imagery there, you know, that you're cultivating, you're caring
good
for,
word. Yeah.
you're tending
the ground.
To,
yes.
You know, a garden, and that, you know, although we're not each other's source, we are each other's number one influencer. And recognize what a tremendous gift you are to your spouse.
And I see this with you and I, Bob, that, you know, seeds we planted years and years ago, we're reaping the harvest of those. Those aren't just seeds in the ground anymore. There's actual flower gardens and things that we've done because during our times of hardship, we really made that choice to uproot the belief systems that were causing us to have dysfunctional cycles. And when we continue to do that, but we're reaping the peace and the joy that, and Bob, you have to admit, there have been seasons when one of us was planting a lot more than the other.
Yes.
And you know, kind of went back and forth, but that's okay. Don't get discouraged if you're the one.
Do I plant seeds into your life?
Oh, yeah, honey, you do.
Do I?
Yeah, you give me nice, gentle affection every when you walk by. Oh,
that's the seed?
Yeah.
Okay. I was thinking before we sat down here, over the last week, we spent a day apart.
Right. I traveled.
That was a good day.
Yeah, it was.
We come home and it's just like, wow.
I've missed you. Yeah, it was good. That's a good sign after being together 24/7.
Oh, man. We've been on lockdown.
We're kind of addicted to each other, which is a good thing.
Right. I do want to touch on, you know, the idea is that, you know, marriage is supposed to be hard.
Right.
I want to touch on that because, again, that's a myth that we're trying to break,
mm-hmm.
okay? Just even, you know, using that or establishing that even as a mindset going into the relationship.
Because there's a difference between being hard and serious. Yes, this is a serious relationship, but that doesn't mean it's hard.
Mm-hmm. But when we say that, I think a lot of people are hearing something.
Yes, okay? I do too.
So I think, yes, we need to choose our words carefully.
Yes.
But it's also the ears that are hearing and they're translating.
Yeah.
And basically what they're saying is, hold off. Wait.
Yeah.
Don't do this. You know, don't jump in there. And I think too often they're hearing that marriage isn't worth it.
Right.
You see, if marriage is hard, you know, and that you're waking up every day with a hard heart.
It begs the question, why would I want to be married?
I think too many people then translate it as though marriage, you know, I don't know if it's really worth it.
Right.
And so what we don't want to do is cultivate and grow this in other people's lives just to continually, you know, to carry on with the life that they've had rather than entering into one that is shared.
Right.
And that is very different, but that I think is what, you know, marriage is. It's the mutual sharing of life with each other.
And I think sometimes we can get caught up in the thing that we're missing and we can get our focus on that. And I think I can't help but think of a puzzle. And Bob and I have done some puzzles. Our daughter and son-in-law, they've done quite a few puzzles.
Yeah.
And they just put on an episode of something on their computers and they just sit and do puzzles and they love it. But now if you are listening and you have done a jigsaw puzzle, have you ever persevere through hours of paying attention to those little intricate details and, you know, and just knowing that one moment you're going to anticipate placing that last final piece only to
You always almost believe, okay, somebody who's hiding it.
Right.
I mean, how much time have we looked for that?
Okay, to find out that one last piece is missing.
And it was, but it was there all the time.
Okay.
Okay, am I going to leave this to you?
Yes, will you let me tell my story?
I'm sorry.
I was going in a different direction.
Oh,
Because what happens, what would the anticlimax be?
Uh-huh.
The anticlimax of not ever finding that last piece.
Oh.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
That takes away the joy of the journey. It almost feels like the entire project was a waste of time.
Oh.
If you can't do that last piece. Because I think that our human nature compels us to focus on the one missing piece instead of the beauty of the entire puzzle. And I've noticed this in my puzzle of life. I can have so many great things going on to be thankful for, but if I let myself, I can fixate that thing that I don't have. Hmm. And this is like a robber. I think this is a robber of beauty, fun, and contentment in a marriage. Because I think that God has given us all things to enjoy.
Yes.
And has made us complete in Him. And He has never intended for us to be frustrated because one piece is missing that's going to ruin the whole picture. Because God's character isn't one that He'd give you everything to enjoy except that one thing. And so even though our tendency is to focus on that missing piece, our life is not a puzzle. I guess that's what I'm trying to say, Bob. Our life is not a puzzle that we have to try and figure out. Our life is a gift. And our relationships are a gift. These are journeys. They're thriving relationships where we develop, you know, this close communion. And I think a giant leap towards enjoying relationships is just choosing to realize that focusing on what's missing is actual torture, but enjoying the journey of growing together and planting seeds in that garden. So I guess I was trying to say that don't see life as a puzzle.
Okay.
All that to say. You know, but I think you're hearing me, because if you do, you'll fixate on the wrong thing.
If you fixate on the missing pieces.
Exactly.
And what's missing. I get that. Okay.
Life is not a puzzle. Okay. Life is a gift and life is a journey, and we can't always control that process.
Okay. What would be the number one, marriage, scripture that would be used at most weddings? Go ahead.
Well, I was thinking of 1 Corinthians 13.
Exactly.
Love is kind. Love is patient. Love is enduring.
Okay, and it all begins, or it starts here. Love bears all things, yep. Believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things.
Yes.
Okay, but I want, because if I'm trying to kind of draw in your analogy here. Okay. This is all new stuff to me.
I threw that puzzle thing on you.
Yeah, you threw that one at me. But there is no perfect love. Other than finding that love in God. But there is a love in me that does develop and does grow.
Mm-hmm.
You see, that nurtures my life and yours.
Yes.
And so I think sometimes we're looking for that perfect individual.
Yes.
I think one of the big myths, you know, in marriage is the myth where you complete me.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden I fixate on you completing me, that missing piece in my life.
That's it, Bob.
You see, my life has been a puzzle.
Yeah.
And you are.
And then everything will be perfect. Mm. Mm-hmm. And I think starting off again with that analogy of the garden is such a good one, because there's no garden that's perfect. Because if you ever looked, there's always work to be done. There's always, you know, but you and people who enjoy gardening and enjoying the beauty of the flowers, that's how I see marriage. Like I tend to a garden because I value it so much, and I value the beauty so much that I love taking care of the weeds. I love taking the water of attention and watering the good things that are going on.
So remember this, love bears and endures all things.
Yes.
That's quite profound.
Yes, it is.
I can bear this. I can bring strength. I can undergird you. I can uphold you. We can endure this. We're going to go through to the other side, because marriage in and of itself, it is not hard. Life, on the other hand, is filled with plenty of challenges.
Yes, it is.
And even the newlyweds, you know, people that are newly ready to get married, and I know that this summer is unique in this year of 2020, but I believe that these young people, they have the tools necessary to face the challenges, and that after every wedding, remember this, there is life, and love will never fail.
Yeah, and I think we could talk today about fulfilling responsibility without sacrificing the fun, because I think that sometimes...
Say that again?
Fulfill responsibility without sacrificing the fun, because I think you can have it all, that joy of fulfilling responsibility, plus that freedom, you know, to belly laugh and to rise above the circumstances, because when you're having fun, you're better at what you do. And your zeal for life is contagious.
Okay. So I have this list of 14.
Uh-huh. I know.
If I can say that.
Yes.
Okay. So I want to work this through together. Mm-hmm. And this is something that you might take as a couple, you know, whether it be on a date night or a night together on the couch, or just make sure you keep it light and fun.
Because this is about setting your intentions to, yes, be responsible, but make sure you're having fun.
Yes. And so I think you know that you're moving in the right direction. We're going to start with number 14 and move our way down to number one.
Yes.
So number one is PDA.
Yes.
Public display of affection.
I want to be the kind of person where it's easy for me to give a public display of affection.
No matter how it embarrasses our children, like it even happened today, you know, in the kitchen, Robert was there.
Oh yeah.
Oh, brother, mom and dad. Yeah. You know,
yeah.
But, you know, public display of affection. And again, be honoring of the other person.
I was talking to one of my friends. Okay, I'm glad, listeners, that we're just all friends here, right? I was talking to one of my friends in North Carolina this morning, and we were talking about how much weight we had gained during COVID. And I, at the end, she told me how much weight she'd gained, and I was confessing to her. And then I said, well, give your hubby a chubby hug, you know, because Bob and I laugh because our stomachs touch each other before our lips touch sometimes. But, you know, it's just kind of that. I hope that's not you. I hope I'm not talking to you. I'm just keeping it real here. But, you know, the thing is that we get to have that feeling of touch and hugging and squeezing each other.
Okay, so number 14 was PDA, public display of affection. Already 13.
The kiss. Oh, it's important to keep kissing. You know, it's important to feel the intimacy because there is no one in the world I want to kiss on the lips except you in the whole world. There are certain people, older people, that might want to kiss you on the lips.
I don't want a grandma kiss.
No, I don't want a grandma kiss. I only want your kiss. And I don't even like a doggy kiss.
I still remember my grandma kisses.
Oh, no. I was,
it's like a fuzzy pear. Oh, Bob, I mean a peach,
stop it,
a fuzzy
Bob,
peach.
Stop it. I was thinking today of how I personally do not like doggy kisses at all. Oh, like some people let their dogs kiss them.
Oh, no.
Oh.
No, thank you.
I love my dog, okay, but I don't like kissing. Anyway, I like kissing
Remember
you.
The kiss, yes. People. Remember the kiss.
Sometimes
number 12.
Bob, we have gone days sometimes without kissing.
I know.
And then we're like, oh my gosh, we haven't been kissing.
I know. Number 12, talk, not text.
Can we do both?
Yes, but typically men will text. Uh-huh. To avoid conversation.
Ah.
Okay. And women will want to text to make a point.
Interesting.
Because they'll get lost in the conversation.
Yes.
So all I'm saying is
talk, not text.
Talk more than you text.
We have, you know, and most of you know that we actually help people. We do a lot of coaching and do a lot of online counseling and stuff like that. I have had couples that have to have a text conversation, but then I've asked them to get together face to face and read their text messages to each other. Even if you have to read your text messages, use your voice and be in the presence with each other.
Number 11.
Yeah, be like-minded.
It's amazing how you find that out. Like for you and I, Audrey, from the very beginning,
right.
I think that was probably the thing that we really celebrated and enjoyed about each other was simply being like-minded.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it would just be awesome to sit down and say, hey, where are we? Let's think about these.
And this is the puzzle piece illustration.
Okay.
Because you're going to think about
you're
things
just
where
you're going to make that thing work, aren't you?
I'm going to try really hard to make it work.
For you, already.
You did already save it. But think of, there's always things that we don't have in common and we don't think alike. But it's really important to think about what you do have instead of what you don't have.
Yep.
Instead of that pieces that are missing, think about, you know what I love about you is that we both think alike when it comes to this.
Yep. So number 10. Okay, is this. We find that we can share both the good news and the bad news with each other.
This is good. This is a great indicator.
We're in a good direction.
We're in a good place when you're the first person I want to tell my news to.
Mm-hmm. Number 9.
I actually gave you some news after my trip that I thought might have gone okay or not okay. And I won't get into
details.
I
navigated that quite well.
You did really well with that. Mm-hmm. But you know what? I didn't want to keep any secrets from you.
Thank you.
And so I just thought, I'm going to tell you this news because I thought, will Bob ever find out if I don't tell him? No. Is it a big deal? No. Was it a problem? No. But it would be if I would have kept it a secret.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
And that then would have been a seed planted.
Oh my gosh, Bob, that's true.
Now we're going to the garden.
Bob, That's profound because I very intentionally said, I'm not going to let this go by.
No.
Because this might have been a potential problem, but I'm going to tell you about it right away.
Yep.
And if it is, we need to talk about it. That's fine.
Yep.
But it wasn't the best of news necessarily. It was whatever.
Yep.
But I'm so glad that it was a seed of truth and honesty that was planted between the two of us.
Right.
I shared my news.
Okay, number 9, Audrey.
And you know what else?
I
couldn't help but share my news. Even though it wasn't necessarily perfect news, I couldn't wait to tell you everything.
Right.
That's what I'm trying to say.
That we share.
Yeah.
Okay.
We share news.
Number 9 from you.
Okay, you're able to disagree. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's okay. We don't even have to argue about it.
Don't have to. Don't turn it into a fight.
Doesn't have to be.
No, don't allow it to escalate. Just remember, you know what? We see it differently. But if there is a point, like let's, you know, if there that news that you should have.
I wish we could tell you, but we really can't.
No. It's not a big deal.
Right.
But the whole thing is if I needed to, one of the best questions you can ask your spouse is simply this, tell me more.
Yeah.
Rather than jumping immediately to a conclusion passing a judgment, just say, hey, tell me more.
Yeah.
Because you can't afford to start guessing.
Right. That's okay? So good.
So be able to disagree.
And that's just being a super safe place for each other.
And so when you say, tell me more, this is you having a tender heart and moving to their perspective.
And I always want you to feel valued at the end of every conversation. I don't want to sacrifice my need to be right in order to sacrifice you not feeling worth and significance.
Right. Here's another one. And again, these are just points that you can begin to share and revisit, talk about, you know, the public display of affection, kissing, more talk, less text. You're like-minded. You're able to share good and bad news. You're able to have a disagreement. But listen to this. This, I think, everyone should do more of. And that's simply this. Find ways to encourage the other person.
Yes.
Audrey, you do this so well.
I love encouraging the ones I love.
You are so good at it.
Thank you. Well, you're just encouraging me, right? Telling me that. Thank you so much.
Thanks. But, you know, Daniel, our son-in-law, and our daughter, Janelle, they're a part of our circle, and we get to see them
almost every day.
Every time that you see them, you encourage them.
I do. I love it.
And I'm just like, wow. You know,
how much more can you give them?
Oh my goodness.
I believe in them. And when you believe it and you choose to believe in them and not see what's missing, but see what's valuable about them and see what's important, and you, it's like, that's the part. And the garden, waited for this, Bob. This is good. That's watering a seed.
Yes.
You giving attention to the good things is like pouring water on that sprout, and then it's turning into a plant, and you keep watering it and valuing it and bringing attention to that. You are so good at this.
If you wanted to make a marker in your life, I would make a marker, you know, whether you color a fingernail, put a rock in your pocket, notes, you know, around the house. But if you were just to continually remind yourself, be an encouragement, encourage others, encourage your children, encourage your spouse, encourage your colleagues, encourage your boss, be an encouragement.
Your words are like honey to bring sweetness and life. And, you know, words of wisdom that are spoken in one of the Proverbs I was memorizing recently, when your words are spoken with honey, they're so easy to take.
Yeah.
And so make your words sweet.
Yeah, there's another thing, and I'm just kind of stressing out on this one here for a little bit, but I believe that it's worth it. And I've spoken with several men privately over the last few weeks, and the one question that I've just kind of found is, what is it about your spouse or about your wife that makes you smile?
Yeah.
And what I'm fishing for, and where I'm really looking to where this lands, is not what the other person does for you, but where do you really connect? What about their personality and just simply who they are that causes you to smile?
Yes.
And I really want to encourage you, think of it. But then
that's such a good question,
it,
Bob.
Say it. Oh,
that's way different than saying something I love about you. What about you actually just makes me smile?
You make me smile.
Yeah, and this is what is the thing about you that makes me smile.
I like it. Let's go to number 7.
All right, eye contact.
Mm-hmm.
Make eye contact. Look deep into each other's eyes. We're doing it right now. Mm-hmm. There you are, Bob. I see those big baby blues. Those blueberry
behind our reading glasses.
Blueberry eyes.
Eye contact is really good. You know, turn off the TV, put down your electric device, whatever it might be. Give one another eye contact is number 7. Number 6, I can't imagine my future without you. Just ponder that thought. I wouldn't want to have a future without you. And these are the good things, you know, that can very easily and naturally be brought up into a healthy conversation with each other.
Set your intentions. Plant these as seeds. Make this whatever you say with intention comes to pass. So say these with intention. I can't imagine my future without you because I wouldn't want to.
Number five.
You know each other's secrets. Oh, we kind of touched on this one.
Yeah, we touched on that one.
Yep.
But that causes a real authenticity.
And intimacy, too.
And intimacy.
Because you know stuff that no one else does. Yeah.
So we know each other's secrets. And
right.
I think, you know, when you know them, sometimes you can laugh about them.
Totally.
You know, this is what we know. Okay. Another thing that you recognize is that you're able to be yourself.
Yes, number four.
And this is something that we work with couples so much. And what we don't want you to do is live in fear with each other. You know, that you're constantly on thin ice or walking on eggshells, but things are healthy. Things are growing in the garden and doing well when you're able to be yourself. Now, I'm not saying being rude or being honest, but authentically yourself, and you are able to help and aid the situation.
And I think that this really brings rest to you as an individual when you can be yourself. If you're working hard to perform or to be somebody you're not in a relationship and you're living with that person, that is really exhausting. And I know that I've talked to women who, when I start talking about, you know, about responsibilities and fun and the key to embrace our responsibility without ignoring our longing for pleasure and fun. Like we were born for pleasure and fun. And, what makes you a winner is just not accomplishments, but your joy in the journey. And so I've noticed this with women that, that if we're belly laughing, me and some girl that I'm counseling or whatever else, it's almost as if the girl will catch herself and look at me with this deep longing and say, I don't laugh like this anymore. I take myself so seriously. It's been too long. And this belly laughing is feeling really, really good. See, when that happens, everything in me wants to dig deep into her soul and find that childlike person who loves dancing and twirling and smiling for no reason. I want you who's listening, I want you to be free to love unguarded and break through the shell of disappointment and just start living real life again.
Yeah.
Because when you're yourself, it's like you don't have to carry a weight around of performing.
Mm-hmm.
And that just doesn't mean that doesn't give you permission to be a low functioning version of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But you just get to be fully yourself.
Yeah. Number three.
Okay, I really went on that one.
No, that's really good, Audrey.
Yeah.
And in fact, I want to jump in now before I jump to number three.
Yeah.
Okay. This is kind of like our top 14, but number three here, before I jump to that. And here's my thought. Please, listener, don't use these as a weapon against the other person.
Right.
Don't use this as, oh, you see, we don't have any of this in common. You see, and it's just like, no. What you may be working through is a broken heart.
Yes.
You know, what you may be working through is, you know, years of living apart from each other.
Yeah.
And it's like, this is where we had this. This belongs to us. We're going to go and we're going to win this back.
Yeah. And I'm going to do my part. I mean, we probably say that every podcast. Do your part. Don't demand from the other person or think about what the other person isn't doing. Look in the mirror and take this to heart. And, you know, we've been talking about marriage is hard, but you know what? There is sacrifice involved as well. But where I'm thinking of being a mom, being a wife and a mom, mostly a mom, is where I've had, what is the word for sacrifice? I've made the greatest sacrifices as far as just in everything, time, everything. Like I have given my life for my kids.
Mm-hmm.
Greatest sacrifice, but equally greatest reward.
Right.
And I think that, there's sacrifice in relationships that you're loving unconditionally, mm-hmm. but there is so much reward.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. And even with children and with your spouse, sometimes it doesn't come from where you made the sacrifice.
No.
So anyway.
That's true.
So in other words, don't allow what your spouse isn't to define what you become. Just yes. remember that.
Yes.
You know, don't allow what your spouse isn't
is not right
to define what you become. Okay, yeah. Let's jump to number three. We got a couple more here.
Laugh
number three.
At the same jokes. Okay, well, that could be a challenge for some people.
I know.
But,
there we go.
There we go.
Yes.
I don't even know what to say about that one.
Keep laughing. Keep laughing. And
yeah.
You and I, we laughed at the same things. And my mother does not see it as funny.
No.
Yes.
Well, the advantage is that I grew up with all brothers and so did you. So I have pretty good boy humor usually.
Yeah.
Okay. So number two.
Keep laughing.
Keep laughing.
Number two.
Good chemistry.
Yep.
I don't know if this is something you do. Rather, is this something you pay attention to?
I think you recognize, again, that what we have, when there is that, you care for it. You nurture it.
And I'm thinking of podcasts way back that in All About Relationships where we talked about chemistry, and you don't get a good reaction in science class unless you put two very opposing things together to make that, you know, to make that the pizzazz and the passion and the fun. You're not going to get that if you put two same ingredients in the same test tube. You got to put different things in there to get the chemical explosion. And chemistry is a word. So if you
and we are coming together.
Yeah. And there's good chemistry when you are so different than me and I am so different you. And we've just decided that, hey, this is good chemistry.
And when we come together, we make a beautiful family.
That's right. We can make good explosions, or that chemistry can sometimes result in, you know, explosive fighting. And that's not what we're going to choose. We're going to set our intentions to have good chemistry.
And number one.
Yes.
Number one is this. You simply make it work.
Yep.
You just make it work. We're going to make it work.
We have two imperfect people, and we are going to have an amazing perfect God who loves me and loves you, and we're going to choose to make this work.
Yep, because love will not fail us.
When you love,
you make it work.
When you love, you do not lose.
You never lose.
And if you're the one doing all the gardening, and you're thinking, oh my gosh, he just walks through the garden, enjoys it. He doesn't do any planting. He doesn't plow the ground. He doesn't weed. Well, I'm glad you are, because now you can still enjoy the relationship and enjoy the garden and the beauty that you guys have together. And I think that being responsible and fun is one of the most important things to know that you get to have both. You don't have to sacrifice one for the other.
Mm-hmm. And I think marriage and just relationship with other people, it just combats the selfishness in me.
Yes, it does.
And so what a wonderful gift. I mean, this was probably one of the biggest things. I was just so surprised. You know, here we were 17 years married and we're going through a crisis, you know, in our lives.
Right.
I thought we were further down the road than this. And what I just couldn't see, and I needed a friend of mine on the outside, and he just simply said, Bob, you've got to grow up.
Yeah,
this isn't about you.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to make everything about me. And it's just like, Bob, grow up. There's a grace in God yet for you to discover of the extravagance of his love for you. And when that becomes your reality, there will be an extravagance of love for your spouse.
And I really pray for you today that you'll see life as a gift, not as a puzzle with the pieces that are missing, but to see life and even this day as a gift. And just, I hope that you've been inspired to think. You've mentioned 14 things. I could make some choices after I turn off this podcast to do some of those things in our marriage, to plant that
seed
of PDA, to plant that kiss, you know, and to talk and not text, and just choose to see the ways we're like-minded, and share some news with your spouse after you hang up, after you turn off this podcast, and encourage, make eye contact with your spouse today. And just plant that seed of intention. I don't want to imagine life without you or a future without you. Mm-hmm. And be yourself. And that's not on the other person. Bob, sometimes we think, I can't be myself. You don't know my spouse.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? Start being yourself. Not, you know, be shamelessly yourself without apology, but don't be a low functioning that I'm in your face.
Mm-hmm.
But don't sacrifice the beautiful things about you with your spouse.
And keep the laughter in the home.
Yeah.
and
keep the chemistry alive.
See the beauty of your union of oneness.
Yeah.
And just plain and simple, you can make it work.
Yep. Marriage is a beautiful gift. Well, thank you for joining us
today.
Thanks,
everyone.
I pray that this encourages you and just gives that, even if it's one seed that you you implement as a result of listening to this podcast, I pray that you will water that seed and it'll turn into a beautiful plant in the garden.
Not only is your spouse a gift, you are. And so use this list to, you know, use it to your benefit, you know, to actively, you know, love, you know, love can land in these places. And so more than likely you've been spending, you know, more time, you know, with each other. And you're like, what are we going to do? Well, sit down, go through these 14 things and just remember.
I love it. All right. Well, share this podcast with others. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen. And we really look forward to next week and continuing in talking about beautiful things about relationships and what we can do to invest in those.
Have a great week.
Bye-bye.